That is too loud.
How about now? Now you're wondering, is it on? I think it's on. I think that's good. What do you think? All right. There are a couple of lies entrenched in our culture. It's just part of our culture and has been for as long as I can remember. And while there may be on the surface or even at the heart of the matter, so to speak, for people, good intentions don't make wrong things right. Good intentions don't make lies truth. Along with maybe good intentions, there's certainly some misunderstanding about some things. One of those lies is that you can be anything you want to be. That's just not true. I grew up around horses, and so early on I thought I wanted to be a jockey. My teacher said, "You're already too tall." And I was young. It used to be, you couldn't be an Air Force pilot if you're over a certain height or if you wore glasses. I know there's some rare exceptions, but 6 foot does not cut it in the NBA. You cannot necessarily be anything you want to be. Now again, I think the good intentions there are giving people hope. But there's a misunderstanding. It's also a part of our culture there, is that what you do decides how valuable you are, how fulfilling and valuable your life is. But closely connected to that, right, you can be anything you want to be, right? Was something that I heard in seed form when I was a kid. And growing up, I heard this again and again and again. Girls can do anything guys can do, but better. I heard that so many times. We're not saying that anymore. We're saying girls can be guys. That men can be women and women can be men. And as you go and read about the drugs that are given for trying to accomplish that, they'll tell you these might bring about, and there goes their seemingly good intentions. Better sense of happiness and peace, and that doesn't make a lie a lie. Well, that doesn't make a lie true. It doesn't make a lie not a lie. See, one thing you can't do. You know, you can do anything or be anything you want to be, right? Guess what? Men, you're not going to carry a child in your womb. And women, you're not going to be able to be a father of children, right? Biologically, it's reality. But what's going on right now? Oh, just fierce debate about whether or not this guy who says he's a girl, this man says he's a woman who's in college and is now competing in swimming against women and winning. And so you'll have some saying, well, people can say whatever they want, identify whatever they want to be, but there's a biological reality, and biological men shouldn't be able to compete against biological women. Then you got the issues about prisons and what's going on there. It is just confusion and heartbreak. I was reading an article which included some excerpts from a podcast, and there were two quote-unquote conservatives talking with and discussing with two quote-unquote non-binary people. And there's a discussion, and the word woman got used. And so one of the conservatives said, to one of the non-binary people. Define woman for me. They couldn't. And the ultimate explanation given for not doing it was because, well, I don't identify as a woman. I don't know if you're going out to get a dog or a cat, or you have one bunny and you're going to get another bunny, you're going to want to make sure you're getting the gender that you want to bring into your home or your farm or whatever, right? Biological reality, but we have turned that on its head. So here's a little test for you. Got a pen in your hand already? Great. You have a mental notebook? Cool. Right now, write out a definition of woman. You women should be writing right now. So should you men. If you're married to one or you want to marry one. What are you talking about when you say woman? Go ahead, come up with a definition. I can give you time. I can even stand here in silence while you do that. And of course, the next thing to do would be to define man. So right now, test your definition, if you can even come up with one, against what we're about to see in God's Word. Which we think rebellion against is the road to freedom, joy, fulfillment, and happiness. But it is not. It is anything but that. The heartbreak, the severely distorted and harmed lives are real. You just don't hear about them in the news or from teachers or from celebrities. They're real. The goal this morning is simple. What is a woman? What is a man according to the one who made them? Join me in prayer. We'll read from Genesis. Father, we had no control over our coming into this world, and yet we think that we are masters of who we are, but we are not. And we think that deciding who we are will bring us, to use a biblical word, blessing, but it doesn't. Lord God, thank you that you are not silent. You have spoken and you speak through your word. As we turn to it now, give us your understanding of what a woman is and what a man is. And give us the faith to trust you at your word, to take you at your word, and to know the blessing that you intend. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to pick up in Genesis 2, verse 18, after I read just a few verses from chapter 1, 126. Doing this more like a bunch of topicals than a typical six verses every Sunday going through a book of the Bible. The outline's there mostly for all the verse references. So a little bit of jumping around, I'm trying to limit that. But in Genesis 1:26,
Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Jump over to chapter 2, verse 18, where we get further insight into what took place when God created man in his own image. 2:18, Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord, that's Yahweh there, Yahweh God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that Yahweh God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. So as we seek for a definition of woman and man or woman, put them in whatever order you like, the first thing we need to make sure we realize here is that God created male and female for good. We see that in chapter 1, verse 27, he created them male and female. And then in verse 31, it was very good. As I've mentioned before in the past couple of weeks, good here means that which is beneficial. This is a good thing. Male and female, as God created them, is for good. One of the things that we all agree about is that there is such a thing as good and bad. What we don't agree about is what is good and what is bad. How do we decide that? What's the standard? It's the one who made everything. The one who made male and female and said, this is very good. He is the standard. And so, if we want that which is truly good, we must look to Him. We are so confused on this. Just try and go about eradicating a lizard in some local ecosystem. You say, I don't want to eradicate the lizard. I just want to physically alter all the lizards that normally carry the eggs for baby lizards to be like the lizards that don't carry eggs. This is what's going to happen to that ecosystem. Bad. It's bad, right? It's funny how we understand that about the rest of creation. We call it nature. We want to avoid saying that we've been created and there's a God who created. But our culture, our society will say that about the rest of nature, about the rest of creation. This has to be there. That lizard has to be there in order for there to be the right ecosystem and the right balance. But it's okay if we, who are the ones who need to make sure that all of this continues and gets better than it is now, because we've been messing it up, right? Bad. We want to make it gooder. We who are responsible for that, well, we're going to go ahead and alter ourselves. Completely undoing the good in God's eyes. But there's no nefarious or evil intent on God's part. He didn't make male and female so they would be arch enemies, rivals, battling one another. When he made male and female finally there to have dominion and rule and reign over the rest of what he had created, it was very good. Very good. Again, we all agree there's a good and there's a bad, a good and an evil. What we don't agree on is what's good and what's evil. Let's go to the one who brought about our even being here. So the first thing is, when it comes to God's creation of male and female, it was for good. The second thing we want to look at is that God created male and female the same in some ways. He created them the same. Back to 127, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Both male and female are image bearers. So God created male and female the same in image bearing. Reflecting God. No other creature was like that. Remember from a couple weeks ago, it was each according to its kind. Each according to its kind. But then, when it came to man or human, God created human, male and female, in His image. In His image. Not that we physically look like Him, but in our existence, what our purpose would be. That's the second way in which male and female are the same. First, it's the fact that they together, both, bear the image of God, and both share the same God-intended and God-given purpose. I've already read it there from chapter 1. It's to exercise dominion, rule over the earth, being fruitful and multiplying, which, just like with the animals, requires male and female. Both take part in that. Both are co-heirs, if you will, of the rest of creation. So you look at a woman, female, when God made her, and you're looking at a co-heir. An heir, but a co-heir means there's another heir. It's the male. And when you look at the male, he's a co-heir with the female. Why in 2:18 it said, Lord God, Yahweh God saw that man was alone. That was not good. God said it is good that they are male and female together exercising dominion, rule and reign over the earth. I want to point you back to a verse from last week in chapter 2. Verse 15. Yahweh God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. I focused on the issue of God's design and work last week and the connection there with rest. But the words there, to work it and keep it, again, remember, Moses is giving this to the Israelites in the wilderness. So you read Genesis and then you go and read Exodus and you read the same words, you know there's connections going on here. And the Israelites were being brought out of slavery in Egypt. They were going to be brought into a promised land where they would work the land and cultivate it to each have their own vine, land flowing with milk and honey. But they were also told to worship Yahweh. Matter of fact, that's what Moses kept saying to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Yahweh has said, let my people go that they may worship me. The word worship there is connected to the word serve, or work,
And they were told, the Israelites were told, to keep Yahweh's commandments. The word keep there is the same word we have there in 2:15 for keep it. Male and female are both image bearers of God and together co-heirs of all creation with the very same purpose. And I can use one word to describe their purpose, both before and after the fall, before and after the cross, to worship. They were to worship. You say, oh man, that's so cool. Back in the garden, they had elevation worship and whatever all these groups are, making all these choruses, and they had all this singing, they had a dark stick. No. Do we worship when we sing as we have been this morning? Absolutely. But here it's in the simplest terms. Yahweh created, put male and female there in His creation, and they were to work it and keep it. Whose is it? Yahweh's. What's it like? It's good. And once male and female are there to do just that, it's very good. So they were to reflect who He was as His image bearers by caring for His creation, multiplying, being fruitful, filling it and subduing it. And if they would do that, doing that would be worship. And they were both to do that. They both in their existence are image bearers. They both share in that same purpose as co-heirs. And this is good. A couple of New Testament verses for you here to bring you to after the cross. Keep your place in Genesis 2 or just listen. But I'm going to jump to Galatians, that infamous verse wherein many want to use that to say things that it doesn't say. Here's what Galatians says. It's not 428, 328. My apologies for the typo. In 328, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what's that saying? Gender's been dissolved and doesn't matter anymore? What's the context here? It's about salvation. The Galatians, to use Paul's words, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What was going on with them? They started buying into a false gospel of works. A person would be one of God's people only when you follow the law and men got circumcised. And Paul comes in immediately like a horse out of the gate in Galatians 1, confronting that false gospel. He says, let anyone who preaches a false gospel, whether it be an angel or me, be accursed. Because they were listening to a false gospel. One wherein you made yourself God's people by following the law. In verse 28 of chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and he goes on, any other category you might come up with, including male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, being male or female doesn't get you any closer to God if you're one or the other. Being Jew or Greek doesn't get you any closer to God. Being a slave person, a slave or a free person, neither of those get you any closer to God. It is solely about in being in Christ. That's one of the passages where you see that in salvation, there's no difference for male and female. Just as in God's creation, the dominion they were given, made in His image to multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. They shared in that together. And then over to Peter. Or listen. But in 1 Peter
Let's see if I wrote this right in the outline. 1 Peter 3:7. Yes. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so your prayers may not be hindered. Co-heirs! Hasn't changed after the cross. That wouldn't make any sense at all anyway. Why would this co-heirs together, both made in the image of God, change after the coming of the Messiah? It doesn't. It didn't. Male and female today have the same opportunity to embrace God's good purpose for them, to worship Him with their lives by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we haven't gotten to chapter 3 yet, but most of you know what happens in chapter 3. Adam rebels, and so all kinds of trouble comes in, death and problems with male and female relationship. But the promised one is Jesus. The Messiah, the Christ, is Jesus. And He brings about the reconciliation to God that is needed after our chapter 3. And in that reconciliation, the ground is level before the cross. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, whether you're male or female. And in Christ, the image bearing is restored. And the ability to worship the one who made us is restored. What does that tell you? There is no more value or worth in male versus female. Same worth, same value. Sanctity of life, dignity of life exists the same. And that extends to, as I mentioned last week, what either does the work. So long as their work isn't itself sin, that it's moral and upstanding in God's eyes, whatever the work you're doing, and then when you're not working whatever you're doing, and then singing on Sunday morning, you get to offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That wasn't written to males only or to females only, but to males and females who had faith in Christ. Only Scripture, God's Word, reveals the truth that gives us, male and female, an immovable, indestructible, unerasable value and worth that we ironically try to seek by telling people, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. So now what happens when I fail at that? Or I physically have something going on that I can't be that. Now I'm down on my life, down, oh man, you know, or I can't do something, and but men can do it if I'm a woman, or I'm a man and I can't do something. I mean, what? It's got it all backwards. It's got it all backwards. Wrong foundation. We want to define male and female, and so inadvertently make it clear about what gives us value and worth and wherein we can find life. We got to go to the Word. But God did not only create male and female the same, He also created the male and female different. Right? They're the same in their existence in that they're image bearers of God. In Christ now, that image bearing ability is restored, that together as co-heirs, Christ can be exalted in God worship. But God created male and female different. How? Male and female, the first thing is in gender. There is a difference. I was watching this clip of Ben Shapiro speaking in a college campus. I'm not saying Ben Shapiro was all this or all that or anyone involved in what I'm about to quote. But I'm watching this clip. And this guy stood up. He was a guy. But he was identifying as a woman.
is heartbreaking. And he said, and he reads off all the medical institutions and everything else that agree with him, that he agrees with and identifies with, that have redefined or undefined male and female, man and woman, by getting rid of male and female. And this poor young man, baffled, says to Ben Shapiro, "So you disagree with all of these?" "Yes." Then he uses some harsh words and he speaks very quickly. He refers to the evidence of reality and biology to argue against that and say that they're all wrong. And no doctor would ever tell you they're not looking at a male or a female biologically. But we who by grace have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that this is the very word of God, would also disagree. It doesn't matter if everyone else on the face of this earth, in every country, in every medical institution, in every medical journal, in every governing authority said, there is no such thing as male and female, there's no such thing as gender. Which they're doing. God created male and female different in gender. You get over to chapter 6 of Genesis, we don't need to go there. Noah is told to bring animals into the ark. Male and female. If that is subjective, and one chooses whether or not they're male and female, I mean, which animals do you bring in? It's clear. We all know that. If we're going out specifically to get a dog, especially another dog if we already have one, or another cat, or another bunny especially, right? You know, you want to know male or female. Different. God also created male and female different, not only in gender, but in order of existence. Man was created first in order of existence. Not in his existence. He and she, male and female, are both image bearers of God, co-heirs. But man was created first out of dirt. Then the woman, as we read there in chapter 2, verses 18 and following, was created. He was created first in order, but not in his actual existence or purpose. And then she was created. Now why does that matter? Well, that matters because when you go to passages like in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, which we'll turn to in a minute, that difference in order of existence becomes the basis for understanding a difference in the very next thing we're going to talk about, and the last of the things that are different. God created male and female different in role or purpose or the part they play or how they would function in being fruitful and multiplying, subduing and having dominion over the earth. Part of that's pretty obvious, right? He tells male and female to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, who's going to carry the kid? It's decided already. Later on, Adam will call the woman, man will call woman Eve, because she is the mother of life. Life comes from her. More people come from her. Males and females come from her. Though it required Adam, she had a particular role in that. We also see something going on here in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man, at this point we only have the male, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Woman, female, not on the scene yet. In order of existence, man was created first out of the dirt. Yes, girls, we're from dirt.
You were from a rib. Right? But in that order, only the male, Adam, received God's instructions, God's word. So man's role is one of being ultimately responsible. Ultimately responsible for obeying God's word. He has that role. As you go there in chapter 2 again, back in 18, not good for man to be alone, brings all the animals. And verse 20, there was not found a helper fit for him. So Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it in his place. There you go again. So order. Order of existence. There's a connection there with the role. She would be a helper, suitable, fit for him. That together, they would obey, worshiping Yahweh. In working and keeping. As co-heirs, multiplying and subduing. But he was given ultimate responsibility. Let's look at two New Testament verses that mention the order of existence that's connected to a difference in role. The first one is in 1 Corinthians. We've already seen from the New Testament that there is no difference in salvation, being co-heirs in salvation. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, male or female, sharing that together. But there's still a difference, just as there's still a difference in gender, and there was a difference in the order of creation, there's a difference in role. 1 Corinthians 11 and 12. I know I'm just picking up right in the middle here, but nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. And that's in the context of explaining different roles in the church. But now jump over one more verse, one more passage, 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was. So verse 12 is saying there's a difference. There's a difference in role and functioning, particularly in the church. And the explanation is based upon verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And those of you who think this paints the woman in a bad picture, it doesn't. I didn't put this in the outline. Add to that Romans 6. And who gets the responsibility for death coming to all? Adam. Eve isn't mentioned. Woman isn't mentioned in Romans 6. It was Adam. Through one transgression. This passage is saying, yeah, woman was deceived. What's not said there, but that's implied, and it's made clear in Romans 6. The woman was deceived, but the man transgressed. What he transgressed, the word of God. So there's a difference in role and function. They cannot bring about together, or they cannot bring about separately what God intended for them to bring about together. But never want a church that was nothing but men. Not that I would ever want a church, it's nothing but women. Co-heirs together. There's a difference in how that co-heiredness is lived out. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe you think it's bad. But God says it's good. It's good. One of the things I've tried to tell my children over the years
when they don't like something I'm asking them to do or that I'm not letting them do, is that I am not trying to keep you from good. I am trying to keep you for good. You say, well, that's pretty good, Carl. Yeah, that's the Word of God. That's God and us. And while the rebellion against gender, against male and female, may be couched in the idea of having fullness of life and happiness, contentment, and peace, it's a lie. It does not lead there. Yeah, things got pretty messed up after Adam rebelled and didn't keep the Word of God. But Christ has come. The ability to worship God and live for Him through faith in Christ has been restored. But we're works in progress. And in this life we will have trouble, but we can have Jesus' peace. And He will return. And not only will there be a new heavens and new earth, we'll get new bodies. And He even said there's not even going to be marriage. I still believe there'll be male and female, because there's still going to be nations, ethnos, ethnicities. Yeah, just go to the end of Revelation, right? There's still going to be a distinction in how things are and play out. But there is not when it comes to worth, value. There's not a distinction when it comes to sharing Christ between male and female. And yet, in living out this existence given to us by God, there are differences. But they say nothing of value or worth. So how about for that definition of woman and man? However you put it together, here's at least three things from Genesis backed up by the New Testament, or of course agreed with by the New Testament. That first of all, male and female is a good thing. That a woman is a female image bearer of the maker of heaven and earth, and a co-heir together with the male image bearer. Designed and ordained by God. To be a helper. Fit for. Suitable for. Working with man to worship God. He's flipping around for the man. Man is a male image bearer of God. It's good. And he's heir, co-heir, together with the female image bearer. Yeah, he came into existence first in order, but they have the same purpose, the same being, the same reality as image bearers of God, made to worship God and know His blessing, His goodness. To have joy and peace, even in the midst of a broken world now, through faith in Christ. I want to give you a little analogy or little thing that you're going to come across in life that's hoping to make you think about this. Even though the whole gender thing's all in the news. If you're out and about almost on any given day, you guys know I like motors and things with motors and wheels, right? Carl, Paul's my name. She's a motorcycle. But anyway, you're probably going to hear not just a loud car or motorcycle. That's one thing. But you're likely to hear a loud car or motorcycle that pops. Whether it's the coffee can sound, or there's this popping sound, right? And it's annoying, isn't it? And guess what? They messed up the design. They decided, I want more air, so they put on an intake. But they don't change the exhaust. And they don't do anything with the carburetor or the fuel injection. That popping is because they tried to do something with the design, and they didn't follow the design. You can increase the air coming in and the air going out, but you also got to change the whole fuel-air mixture in the middle. Did I lose you? Just
Think about it this way, though. That popping sound, right? That popping sound is because they think they know better. Or maybe they have no knowledge and they don't understand that it was designed to be a certain way. And when that design is followed, whether it's a loud sound, a high-pitched sound, or a deep throaty sound, or whatever that, there's no popping. There's no popping. We can rebel against God's design and think we know better all we want, and even say we're doing this to make everyone's life better, but it's not going to. Now, it doesn't mean there's a guarantee that if you can define man, woman, and you accept that, that life's going to be easy and smooth sailing. No, because chapter 3 is a coming. Oh, it's a come already. Adam rebelled, didn't keep the word of God, and here we are. And here we are. But just as we know that if we mess with certain things in nature of creation, it's not good, you would think we would understand that when you start messing with what it means to be a man or a woman, that it's not good. But we've lost sight of that. And you've been getting this message for as long as you lived, for most of you. I'll have to talk to you, some who are older than me, and ask you if you heard this too. You can be anything you want to be. And now we've taken that to the point of saying, choose your gender. Choose your identity. And yet if I was to say, I identify as a man with lots of melanin in Nigeria, I get called a racist. Sense doesn't make... No, it doesn't make sense. It's not good. It doesn't lead anywhere good. But God's design, male and female, man and woman, it's very good. Let me in prayer. Father, I've done my share of messing up some mechanical and physical things, thinking I know better, or just in ignorance. That is nothing compared to what we would do with these lives that we did not bring into existence, that were made in your image. If we don't understand, or if we rebel against what you have done. And what you have done and what you offer in Christ to both male and female, man and woman. Father, that passage in Romans 12 goes on to say that we would be transformed by the renewing of mind instead of being conformed to the pattern of this world. Father in heaven, we are constantly being bombarded with ideas, values that are flat out wrong, that want to conform our thinking to that which does not bring about blessing, goodness, or benefit for anyone and does not honor you. Father, have mercy upon us. Guard our hearts and minds. Transform our minds and our thinking. Grant us to walk before you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as men and women, girls and boys, to know your will and to want your will, to rejoice in your will, embrace your will, to trust and obey. Thank you that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, has obeyed. And that in him there is restoration to you, offered free and clear to man and woman. May it be to Christ we cling. May it be you we obey. Grant us this, Father, that we would know what you call good, that we would know your blessing,
you would be honored, our Maker, Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Send you off the words from Jude.
Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.